Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local wrestling scene in and around Georgia, as well as interviews with newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com with Joshua Von Wheeler. Tonight's going to be an interesting show. Our guest is a wrestler who has never spoken ever. I confirmed it today before I posted it. He's never uttered a word in his long, more than 10 years in Georgia wrestling scene, and his name is Azrael. Josh, you're very familiar with him.
Very familiar. Mostly
from Anarchy, but he's also always a part of Dragon Con Wrestling, so we'll talk to him about that as well, because that's coming up in a couple of weeks. But before we get into our show, you may remember last week I talked about a book I'd gotten in the mail called Roadie, which was appears to be wrestling fan fiction, romantic kind of stuff.
Did you read it?
I haven't yet, but I'd started reading the Andre the Giant Life and Legend graphic novel. By Box Brown, because he's going to be at the Decatur Book Festival in a couple of weeks as well. And I've just gotten several books recently. I got one called Pioneers of Professional Wrestling, one called
Grappler. I got that one the other day.
You did? Cool, because I think we're going to have that guy on the show. But I've got a lot of wrestling books to read. But what about people who just don't have time to read? Maybe they travel a lot. Maybe they're illiterate. What do those kind of people do, Josh?
Oh, they go and check out Audible.com, where you can get over 150,000 titles of some of the best Audible audio books you can ever find, and you can get a 30-day free trial by using our code, and that's audibletrial.com/GWH Radio. And, of course, your trial is good for 30 days, and it works on all of your smart devices, so smartphones, tablets, computers. I think eventually he has an app for, like, smart TVs now, too. So go ahead and get you some Audible. Get you some audio books when you're traveling, when you're lounging, when you just don't feel like reading. You know, a lot of people, they get headaches when they read. You know, they got, like, bad eyesight, and it's hard to read. Go ahead, get the audio book, put the headphones in, close your eyes, and let the person reading you a good story put you to sleep. It's audible.com, and you can get a free trial at audibletrial.com/GWH Radio.
All right, so I guess
God, we're so
everybody,
good at that.
You're very good at that. You should have a job in radio.
I should, but radio doesn't hire talent anymore, fucking cocksuckers. They want bloggers. They don't want radio talent. They want bloggers. You have a better chance of getting a radio gig than I do at this point. No joke.
Because I have a blog?
Because you have a blog and you know how to drive online radio content.
Hmm.
I wish I was joking about that, but I'm totally not.
Then you'll hate me because you hate it. You hate Colt Cabana and Chris Jericho.
I don't like those guys. Here, let me. Okay, and we talk.
I know.
I don't like those guys because they're using their celebrity, their little bit of celebrity they got in wrestling, to do a podcast where they're making money that actual radio professionals could be doing better and making money. That's what I don't like about that, is the fact that, again, my buddy Shafee starts a podcast. He can't get advertisers, but yet he's got 16 years of radio experience. He can actually edit audio. He can actually, like, produce a show. He can actually, you know, take an MP3 recorder and work it properly. Where Chris Jericho has no idea what he's doing and has to get someone else to do all the work for him, he just says, "Hey, it's Talk is Jericho," and makes thousands of dollars off of Onnit.com and other sponsors.
Yeah, he also has a cowbell.
Right, exactly. The worst morning radio hack gimmick ever. Unbelievable.
Well, anyway, did you watch SummerSlam?
I checked it out,
what
and I
it?
Thought it was Well, since I'm a stockholder now, I loved the show and thought it was fantastic. I think you should watch the show on the replay right now, WWE Network, and it's only $9.99, and you can watch Brock Lesnar absolutely annihilate John Cena and help me make more money to pump into Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment.
How's the stock doing?
Nah, it's kind of like flatlined right now.
Well, it's a good thing TNA doesn't have stock.
It's a good thing they're private.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw, they're moving to Wednesday nights, I guess, for the foreseeable future.
I think that's actually a good move, and the reason I think that's a good move is two things. First off, you're not going to beat football. No one is going to beat football. This is why I think running on Saturdays and Sundays for professional wrestling in the fall is the toughest time in the world to do it. I don't know why we keep doing it, but we do. Because you cannot compete with the SEC and the NFL. You just can't. Nobody can. No one should try. Look at NASCAR. NASCAR is a 100-year, you know, southern staple, and yet they're getting crushed by the NFL. That should tell you something right there. Even Vince struggles against Monday Night Football and against Sunday Night Football during pay-per-view time. The other thing is, do you really want to go up against the Big Bang Theory and Parks and Rec and, like, these legacy shows on these giant networks that have – bukus and bukus of freaking advertising dollars to you know, get their name out. Of course you don't. So I think it's a good move. There's nothing on Wednesday nights, at least nothing I can think of, and I think it's a very smart idea for them.
Yeah, I just thought it's kind of a strange announcement. They still haven't officially announced that they're saying that negotiations are still ongoing with Spike. Even Spike is saying that, from what I understand. So, I don't know. It just makes me wonder, moving to a different night.
I would say the Wednesday night is a test, and if ratings stay the same, it's TNA. That's just what they're going to get. And if they spike a little bit, pardon the pun, if they spike a little bit on Wednesday nights on Spike, then they will possibly look into making some changes.
Well, we'll see what happens. I just watched last Thursday's episode on Spike.com today. Saw Georgia's own Gunner in action. He's become a pretty big part of the show over the past few months. And
well deserved,
I think most people agree the last, since, was it Slammiversary that happened a couple months ago? The one in Texas?
Yeah, I believe it was Slammiversary. I think Slammiversary was a big turning point for them. I think they had a very good show at Slammiversary in Dallas, and it seems like the TV has been infinitely better. I did not watch the past 2 weeks, but I've watched a little of the highlights on YouTube and stuff like that, and it seems like it's been infinitely better, and the pacing's a little bit better, and the commentary's a little bit better, and in all honesty, the last episode I watched of TNA and the last episode I watched of Raw, I thought TNA was a more entertaining show. So I had to say that when they do it right, they can do it very well. The problem is when WWE does it right, they can do it better than anybody. So that's what makes it very tough for the entire industry is, you know, you got that legacy of the WWE 35-plus years of being Vince's baby. That's built in, and of course now he's the dictator, so he can, you know, the fans believe what he sells in these DVDs and these documentaries and things like that. So they and a lot of the fans that are coming up today, they never really watched WCW, they never really watched ECW, so they don't really know what an alternative is, and they see TNA and they're just like, TNA just doesn't look good. I mean, so it's a tough sell for anybody.
Maybe
did you go to any indie show this weekend?
No. I went to see Motley Crue and Alice Cooper and ran into Matt Sexcells, who apparently made a surprise return to APW on Friday as well.
A guy who moved to Philadelphia, he sure just traveled down here a lot.
Well, he had tickets to the show, and I guess instead of selling them or something, he decided to fly down. And Jen's ticket went to Kevin Ballinger, so he was there as well. And then I got to see the Jake the Snake Roberts documentary. I got a sneak preview of that yesterday.
How was that?
It's very good. I think most people know the story because DDP has gotten the story out there already so much. But it goes into a lot of detail about stuff that they haven't talked about, at least I haven't heard on other podcasts and things like that. And there's a lot of footage. I'm assuming they got permission, WWE must have allowed them to use a lot of footage. But there's also footage from an indie show that he did that got a lot of internet press and stuff. That was kind of the turning point for him personally and professionally, realizing he was in such a bad place and everything, much like the Scott Hall. And Scott Hall's story is also in this documentary a little bit. But much like the same kind of thing that circulated when Scott Hall did an indie show and just was, I don't know if he was drunk or what the deal was, but
yeah,
could
he
not
was
have been in the
not
ring.
In the right frame of mind, yeah.
So I didn't actually attend any wrestling shows, but there were still plenty of wrestling-related stuff going on. And Larry Goodman has joined us.
Yay!
So who's responsible for that documentary, to inform us ignorant folks?
I believe it was the DDP Yoga team, was it not?
Yeah, Diamond Dallas Page is heavily involved, but I don't know if you saw Shark Tank a few months ago when DDP and a guy named Steve Yu, I believe it is, were on there. Steve is actually the guy that is making the documentary, and Dylan, or James Dylan, who's been on the show, that's he's the main editor, and they've got a team of about five or six people that have been documenting it. A lot of the footage was at DDP's house in Smyrna, excuse me, and just like on the front porch there and stuff like that. But that, you know, because that Jake moved in with them, and that was a major, you know, the majority of the story was after he moved in and what happened from there on up until his induction into the WWE Hall of Fame. That's where the movie ends.
And what a coincidence, DDP Yoga and DDP featured in the New York Times.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I believe it was in the magazine section, a nice spread on DDP and the whole DDP Yoga thing. How convenient is that?
It's very convenient. That's what we call publicity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's usually how it works.
I know they're planning on submitting the film to all the major film festivals, and I think the deadlines for those are soon. So they've been working around the clock, editing it and getting it ready over the past month or two. And this was just a screening for, you know, they wanted feedback on it and see if they were on the right track and everything. Looks to me like they are, and good for DDP for getting an article in the New York Times, because he's really doing some amazing stuff for people. And I don't think it's smoke and mirrors or work or anything like that.
No, I mean, I talked to a real hardcore fan who himself started on the program and has had tremendous success with it. And what he was telling me about the program and everything I know about, I mean, it's very solid stuff. There's nothing crazy or weird about what he's promoting there.
Yeah, it's
not, just great yoga.
It's not hard to do either, because it's designed for you can jump in at any level of athletic background or whatever, and it's all based on your heart rate. So, you know, if you get to a certain point where your heart rate is too high or something, you just take a little break and then jump back in when you're ready. Did you go to any shows this weekend, Larry?
Larry went to Knoxville. That's what I was talking about.
Yes,
oh, okay.
I was up in Knoxville for number three for Southeastern, which was another good show. And I mean, since this is Georgia wrestling now, I should say that the Georgia people all did very well. Nina Monet was on the show, her second time in, and Washington Bullets, who are staples there, did very well again, as they've done every time. And Dustin Robinson debuted as a referee there. So all
oh,
the Georgia
wow.
folks, yeah, he,
very nice.
He came in. So all the Georgia folks did very well. It was another very good show. And as I wrote, they actually, you know, drew a crowd decently enough for TV, given that the Vols had 40,000 people for a stupid, excuse me.
God.
But I just can't get the college football thing to that extent for 40,000 to come to a goddamn practice.
And Larry, that's because the Vols aren't very good right now. I believe UGA in their spring game actually packed the entire building.
Yeah, but still, I just for a practice for a
it
practice,
doesn't matter.
40,
it's,
that, yeah.
I'm telling you, it's religion. It's I don't know what we're gonna do, but we need to just shut, like, just close shop on Saturdays and Sundays. Like, we're just gonna have to. Like, everybody just needs to start running on Thursdays.
Yeah. Well, I was sitting talking with Bo James about that at the show, about, like, you know, running in the South during football season. I mean,
it's
running
impossible.
Anywhere during football season, but particularly in the South against, you know, he's talking high school football games in the Kingsport area, drawing thousands
of people.
That's
true, yeah, that's true.
Thousands,
yeah,
for damn high school.
But, and you know, and that's something else that, like, you know, this is completely off the subject, but, like, these amateur MMA shows that are, like, all over the Georgia and the Carolinas,
yeah,
and the Tennessee,
yeah,
they draw so well, and yet you're watching guys that are 1-2 or 2-1 fight off against each other. It's like, these guys aren't professionals. These guys,
yeah,
will never see the light of Dana White's career. I mean, but they pack 1,000 people in these venues, and I think it's just one of those things where it's a social, it's a cool thing to do, and that's the only explanation there is to it. I was at Vintage this past week in Orlando, and they changed venues, and I actually got, I would say it was close to 300 in the gym, and they put everybody on one side, and this was their first TV taping for a similar Dave Marquez project, Championship Wrestling for Sunshine State. And just to say that the guys that usually work the Georgia shows, also known as Show in a Box, all did very well. And Larry, they did something very surprising. They are turning Corey Chavis babyface.
Oh, you could do that. Yeah, yeah. But whoa! This is a David Marquez project in Florida now?
Well, I guess Championship Wrestling from Florida, or Vintage Wrestling, has been it's a promoted show from some of the local guys in Florida. Simon Says, and I believe Milo Beale has something to do with it, and a few others. And somehow they got partnered up with Dave Marquez, and, you know, it's all that Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, the thing they're doing with Paul Adams up in Tennessee. Somehow all these shows are all working together on these TV projects.
Well, it is this united network that he's putting together, but
yeah,
boy,
that's what it is. Yeah, now Dave Marquez is not putting money into this one in Florida, but somehow they I guess he helped broker the deal with Bright House TV or something of that nature.
Well, he's good at that. He certainly would seem to have his hands full at this point. I mean, with all the things, you know, the fingers he's got, the pies he's got fingers in at this point. That's really interesting.
Right. So,
going back to what you're talking about, the beginning of the show about early in the show about TNA, I couldn't agree more that the shows are much better. And, you know, it'd be a shame if for some reason that goes away. You know, one of the things that at the Southeastern show was, like, just some discussion about the lack of jobs in pro wrestling and, you know, the lack of really good trainees outside of the people at WWE and their minor leagues, as far as, because, you know, the handwriting's kind of on the wall. There's just hardly any jobs, so why,
yep,
not go into MMA and in other avenues?
Well, there's no money in MMA either. There's absolutely no money in MMA until you get, you know, and even when you get that UFC contract, you're not making millions. You're making maybe six figures, and you're only fighting 2-3 times a year. I mean, they make their money on sponsorships. So, you know, you get, like, the guy, like the Ronda Rousey, she's probably making $1 million. Misha Tate's probably close to $1 million. John Jones is probably, you know, right above $1 million. You know, those guys are the top guys. But some of these, like, independent guys, if they don't get these sponsorships, they don't make crap. So it's a very weird business right now for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, like, pro
wrestlers. Like Luke Gallows said last week
on
the show. Oh, sorry, Larry.
No, I was just saying, six figures for a pro wrestler would be outstanding at this point.
Oh, of course it would be outstanding. But, you know, how many guys in WWE are making six figures? Just the top,
yeah,
guys, probably. So, but Luke Gallows said it best last week. WWE's on a hiring freeze.
Mm-hmm.
They're not hiring guys if it's not being told from, you know, the top-tier guys saying, okay, sign this guy. And, you know, I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but some of these guys they're signing, it looks like they're being signed so they can't help indies grow.
Well, I know I'm completely shifting gears here, but I got to go back to Georgia, and I think it'd be we would be remiss not to mention that Mr. Gossett has canceled another show.
I was hoping you'd bring it up. So,
well, I mean,
have to,
but at least he canceled it in advance rather than running a show with half the people there and a half-assed show. He canceled it in advance, so my hat's off to him for that at least, and not having people show up.
How does he do it, though? How does he do it?
Yeah. He's amazing.
The whole thing, like, and I never do this, but part of me, like, the evil part of me is like, dear Brian Kemp, I am writing you this so you know what Ron Gossett really does. Like, how does he keep getting promoter's license? How does he keep selling these sponsors on these ideas? Because he does this every 2 years.
Yeah, well, I've said it many times. When it comes to getting sponsors, he's a master at getting sponsors, talking people out of money to sponsor shows. He's great at it.
Does he get different sponsors? I haven't noticed. Because no
last
way...
show, he had Aaron's Rental.
Okay, well,
he had Hooters. He had Harley Davidson, and he had like two or three other ones.
Yeah, Aaron's Rental.
I know.
Been involved for two or three years with him.
Right. Many years ago,
maybe
he would get Budweiser like crazy. Like, Budweiser always sponsored shows many years ago. And
right.
And those sponsorships could have been as you know, it could have been as much as like a free keg of beer or two kegs of beer or whatever. But still, I mean, two kegs of beer, that's about 60 beers sold, about $4 or $5 a pop. So you're looking at about $500 basically being given to you.
So it's like he gets enough sponsorships to get through one show, two shows, but by the time he gets to show number three, at least in this case, show number three,
he's
out of gas. Yeah.
Yep. Every time.
That's usually about how many he gets, isn't it?
Yeah.
Every time. Yeah. It never fails. It's almost like it's not even a shock anymore. It's almost like Einstein's theory of insanity. Like, you know, we keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. We know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Hey, so. One other thing on a local level. What did you think of the Bailey smashing Rachel with the chair angle and putting her in the ambulance and all that stuff at PCW?
Is that okay? So I saw a little bit on Facebook where Shane Marks posted that she was like on the way to the hospital. So
yeah,
that was the angle
in
that
at
Bailey.
Hospital.
Yeah.
The ambulance was there. They took the bottom rope off, put her on the stretcher, you know, wrapped her neck up twice, carried her out, put her in the ambulance. The video is on, of course, it's not on Georgia Wrestling History anymore. That's is apparently gone away. GWH News and Notes. .blogspot.com is where you got to go now to find it, but it's there.
Let's see here. PWX was this past weekend. Any word on that show?
PWX?
Yeah, there was
an excellent report just posted from Jeff Richards.
Oh,
live report. I mean, the guy does a great job. This is a really excellent report that he wrote, and I just put it up within the last few minutes.
Wow,
there,
this is a really good report.
Yeah, he's the guy's great. Unfortunately, he's having some physical problems. They're actually making it difficult for him to type.
Ooh.
So he may not be doing this anymore, which would be a real shame because the guy really covers Carolina and does a fantastic job with it.
Tell him to get, I believe it's called Dragon. It is a talk-to-type application for your computers, and it costs about $50, and you literally just talk, and it types it for you.
Now here, I thought you were going to go into the ad for the program. I'm glad you didn't.
To get them to sponsor him.
I'm just saying, like this. I'm looking at this guy's report. And I'm like, okay, this guy can't stop. Dragon, get the Dragon app for your computer. It's $55. No, this report's great. He puts the star ratings on these matches.
Yeah,
which is different.
Time and effort, and it's very well done.
A 26 minute intermission.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's very detailed.
I'll give that credit to Southeastern to do 13 matches in 2.5 hours. Now, you know, a lot of them were short, but still, I mean, they were moving along at a good clip there in Knoxville Saturday night to get 13 matches done in 2.5 hours.
So the tennis was 145. Super numbers for the Hickory Crawdads had Cutlass performing concert. So, yeah, looks like a good report, but I've actually come to look at this video that you told me about, and I got sidetracked with this excellent report from Jeff Richards.
How the hell, Jonathan Williams, did you get Azriel as a guest on this show?
That's a good question. Originally, as we've mentioned a few times on previous shows, Slim J was going to call in, and then I was trying to confirm with him today, and he said he wouldn't be able to, or he might not be able to because of some other commitment. And he didn't want to say yes for sure and then not be able to. So I just told him, you know, do you have anybody else you'd like to call in to talk about Anarchy and Dragon Con Wrestling? because he's involved with both. And Azrael was one of, I think, four names that he mentioned. And I was like, but he doesn't speak, does he? And he said, no, but he's looking to change that. So I said, okay, well, if he's willing to call in, let's do it. And then, so that's pretty much how it happened. And then I asked just to make sure, because I haven't been to an Anarchy show recently. I didn't know if maybe he had started speaking. He hasn't. So this will be his first time speaking in any sense, I guess. So he should be calling in any minute, too. I'm working on that right now.
I'm very interested to see how this interview goes.
So, Josh Wheeler, I have to say, you've got to be the sort of the loose cannon of the Georgia wrestling scene at this point.
Oh, I am totally that.
what kind of controversy and havoc can you stir this week, or are you not
well, actually,
for that?
Well, actually, I'm glad you mentioned that, because then I don't want to just pub other shit, but I will be a guest on another wrestling podcast on Wednesday, live from the Armory. My friends Bunkhouse Bob and lovely Laura host that one. It's a look at independent professional wrestling. And let's just say that it could be a very fun interview. I have no idea what they're going to ask me, and I don't really know how many people I'll bury, but I'm getting my shovel ready. I'm sure they'll ask me about Aria Ambrose. I'm sure that will come up. And I'm tired of talking about her, so I'll have to deflect that into something new.
We've got a caller now. I'm going to assume this is Azrael. I didn't get entrance music this week, so I'm just going to bring him online. Welcome to the show. Is this Azrael?
Yeah, this is Azrael.
Well, I guess first off, why are you breaking your silence, so to speak, tonight? I'm assuming it must be an important reason.
Just really tired of being silent.
Good enough.
Larry, I'll let you start this one off.
During your career, has there never been a point where you spoke at any time?
There was one about 14 years ago in North Carolina, and I said about 10 seconds worth. Everything else is a story. I'm on like a mile. Right now I'm out in the middle of a storm watching it.
And for those who don't know, I mean, of course, you go way back in Georgia wrestling for guys that are around these days. When and where did you start and how?
Well, I started off with one of my friend's cousins about 1998. He was up there training at the place, same building as the NWA, but it was called NCW. So I went up there, I forged my mom's signature, and pretty much started wrestling when I was 14, almost 15. So pretty much I snuck in there because I wanted to do it, and I mean, I love it.
So when you originally wrestled as under the name, I remember at one point you wrestled under the name Mark for Michaels.
Yes, I did, and that was a very bad time.
Okay, say more.
Let's see, I can go from Raymond Rawls being a, what do you call those, sex offenders and everything else, man.
Wow.
Yeah, it goes that deep, but I ain't going to get into that clearly.
Right.
Okay.
Well, so you go ahead, sorry.
Oh, that's fine. I was trained by AJ Styles, and he was a good trainer, and then he moved up to WCW, come back a few times, and we still keep in touch every now and again, but he's a good guy, and he trained me up real good. The reason why I got into wrestling, because I met up with Mick Foley when I was 11 years old, and he signed my autograph, and from then, it was on.
Tell us about that story. Like, how did that all come together?
I was just at a, you know, they come to the Georgia Dome, and I met up with him out back. I was like about 11 years old, you know. I really don't know what to say about that. It's one of those you stand in line and wait. If you get an autograph, you do, you do. You don't, you don't.
So now Jonathan gave you a really shitty introduction, so let's do this the proper way. This guy is literally one of the most innovative professional wrestlers I've ever witnessed and had the pleasure to get my ass beat by plenty of times. He kicks harder than anybody in the entire freaking business. Jeff G. Bailey has handpicked him as the guy to destroy the world. At one point, he literally was one half of the greatest tag team to never be signed to a national contract in the early 2000s. And then he goes on to form an even more dangerous tag team with Corey Chavis, the Soul Assassin, who at that time was known as Rain Man. He's won multiple tag team titles, and he's very close to being the next Anarchy Heavyweight Champion.
Very close.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about your Lost Boys, how the Lost Boys came about, and then kind of segue into breaking off into the singles realm, because it's almost new for you to be a singles competitor.
Yeah, almost. But how the Lost Boys got started was Sinister the Minister started coming up to the show, and me and my friend, Gabriel, we was just sitting down one day. He come up to us, he looked at us and goes, "You're mine." I was like, "Oh, damn, here we go." From that
so
on,
you
he named my name. He gave Gabriel his name. Then, how can I say, after that, I got locked in the trunk for about 2 hours in his car.
Now, the original take was you guys were kind of like a newer version of Mikey and Tajiri.
Yeah.
But you guys are a lot more deadly.
My favorite wrestlers were Tajiri, Mick Foley, Terry Funk. And mix them all together, and you got me.
And that makes perfect sense. Larry,
also
anything else?
Mikey Whiprip. He was pretty good, too.
He was great. Larry?
Yeah, I'm curious about the Terry Funk influence.
The Terry Funk influence? Well, I started wrestling for Dory. I think I wrestled for Dory for like a year. And me and Terry Funk started talking, and the first thing he said to me when I walked up, he goes, "Y'all boys been partying all night, ain't you?" I was like, no, but what if I said yeah? He goes, "Then I want some." Well, that's the experience I had with him, and he's intimidating a little bit. I'll give him that.
Now, did you ever get a chance to work, Terry?
No, I never got a chance to work him.
But you worked Dory a few times.
No, me and Dory did a few training sessions together.
Okay.
Everything. Other than that, I just worked the show.
So, and anytime we had Todd on a few months ago, and we talked about what I consider, the wild side tag team years where there were so many great tag teams. What was that like for you guys to feud with Todd and Tony, to feud with, Blackout, and then, later on to feud with the Texas, I think you guys had a few little matches with Ultimate Luke and Gabriel when you split off with Chavis. So what was that like being part of those great, 3 or 4 years of nothing but great tag team wrestling?
Oh, man, I love the tag team. There's so much you can do in a tag team. It's just unbelievable. It's like taking a Scrabble book and shaking it. You can get anything. But as far as everything else goes, tag team, singles, heavyweight champ, I mean, anything. I mean, I love it all, dude.
Right. Jonathan, you got anything?
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about Dragon Con as well, because like many people, that was the first place I saw you wrestle.
Okay.
And it has a unique following of people that don't necessarily get out to wrestling shows the rest of the year, but that's like the big thing. It's like WrestleMania for some people almost. Do you know who you're working this year at all yet?
No, I don't know yet. I'll know as soon as I walk in the building, though.
Well, you've been involved.
It's really all surprise.
Several times, so I'm sure are there certain matches that stand out for you there? Or maybe not even matches, just certain years where the crowd's gotten especially rowdy or anything like that?
I think it was like the third year of Dragon Con, but the third year of the wrestling at Dragon Con. I think it's where they had ladder match and everything else, and they ended up busting a hole through the wall.
Right.
he gave him a suplex to the wall and busted it, and I think he had to pay for that. Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, I remember there was some concern about if that was going to be the last time they had wrestling at Dragon Con, and I'm glad it wasn't.
Yeah, there was a real big fight about it. They wasn't going to let us come back, and we talked them into it, and there was a lot of heat about it.
Israel, am I correct that you got hurt at last year's Dragon Con? Is that right?
Yeah, I ripped a MCL.
Whoa.
Ugh.
Yeah.
How did you do that?
I really don't know how I did. I just picked up. When I picked them up, it just snapped, and I had to take almost a year of rehabilitation for the knee.
And that was one of your first matches back from your back injury, correct?
Yep.
Oh, wow. That's
what you never know about wrestling. I mean, it's just a combination of years. 16
right.
years, I'm pretty sure I got an 80-year-old man's body.
Mm. And one other thing about last year's show, what possessed you to allow those fans to strap you like that?
Well, it was a good charity for a young man that I knew that got paralyzed wrestling. And I wanted to help raise him up some money, do him some good and everything. And plus, there wasn't nobody out there that could hurt me anyway. That 6-year-old boy hurt more than anybody else.
Wow.
Now this year I'm thinking about doing it where I'm getting strapped, somebody can make me holler, they can get the money.
Wow.
Let's see who can do that.
So is there anyone that can hurt you?
I choose not to think so.
Well, after watching you wrestle for all these years, I choose not to think so. I mean, you're just amazing. I mean, do you?
I appreciate it.
I mean, I mean, I've talked about it a number of times, written about it, about when anybody chops with you. I mean, oh my God!
Now my chops are my deadly thing. I love my chops, but I also want people to hit me just as hard.
I've noticed.
I want them, if they can make me bleed, I want them to make me bleed. I want to feel like the worst fight ever that I come out of.
You know, Ox Baker used to say, I love to hurt people. Do you like to hurt people?
I don't think that I like to hurt people. I just think I need to hurt people.
Oh. Oh, my.
Yeah, I was trained by psychos.
Speaking of hurting people, in your experience in wrestling, who can go toe-to-toe with you when it comes to the chops and
yeah.
the kicks and really laying it in?
Who can go toe-to-toe with me? Let me think.
Yes.
That's not a really long list at all, and that's Slim J.
Slim J?
Me and him, I've knocked out teeth on him. He's broke ribs. I've almost broke his ankle. We've had probably 10, 12 concussions just between each other. His best friend's going straight at it.
Now, how many times do you think you and Slim have actually wrestled a match against each other, whether tag team, six-man, whatever?
What, just like me and him wrestling together?
Just you and him, yeah.
Probably 2,500 times.
Holy cow.
That's just a low estimate.
And that's taking at least months off of your life, if not years.
Probably, but who cares?
Well, I can certainly say in all those years of going to wrestling in Cornelia, what's that now, 15 years, your matches with Slim, without a doubt, some of the most brutal ever to take place in that building. My God.
I appreciate that.
And then you guys made a great tag team, I guess, what was it, like 2 years ago, year and a half ago?
Oh, yeah, that was my favorite tag team, second to me and Rain Man.
I don't know. I think a lot of people were surprised at how well you guys worked together, and I'm sure that was partially because of all the matches you've had against each other. But how were you guys able to work so well together?
Video games.
You play like
is
a video
that where
game,
the creativity for moves comes from?
Like Def Jam Vendetta.
That game was so much fun.
Oh yes, I love that game. Really, we just sit down and think about it for hours. I'm talking about what's the most sadistic thing that we can do. He has the mind like me, so that's what I like.
So is that how you come up with so many of those moves that you come up with? Because, I mean, a lot of people don't know this, but, you know, a move that got made famous a few years ago by Matt Morgan and some guys in Japan now use it, you actually created the Ted Bundy. Is that how you do that stuff is through video games?
No, I come up with that on my own. That's just taking a move and twisting it around to your own. But if I could say something to him, you mind if I say something about that guy who
go right ahead.
Please.
I don't care.
Well, one, if you're going to steal it from me, at least do it right. If you're getting paid that much money, come up with your own stuff.
That's true.
So hopefully that'll get out there to him.
So how do you feel about that? Because I know for a while that, like, Wildside was one of the more innovative areas, and a lot of the moves that you – especially you and Slim, you guys got ripped off probably more than anybody. You know, how do you feel about that when, you know, you find out that the guy at, you know, Combat Zone just yanked your shit, or, you know, a guy at TNA is now using your stuff? I mean, does it piss you off? Is it one of those things where you're like, oh, I got to get – if I ever see this guy in a locker room, I'm going to at least say something to him?
No, it just makes me feel good because I'm 10 times better than they are. They can have it.
Fair
I can
enough.
Come up with something 10 times better.
So what's next? Are you coming up with some new stuff?
Oh, yeah, you're going to see some new stuff at Dragon Con.
Oh, man. Jonathan, you going to be at Dragon Con?
Of course I'll be at Dragon Con.
make sure you film Azrael's match.
Okay.
Because if he's about to create some new stuff, it's going to go viral within 2 months.
Oh, not
maybe
creating,
I shouldn't.
It's been created.
Maybe I shouldn't record it, because then people will just steal those
they'll
moves, too.
No, they're going to steal it anyway, but that's the problem with how it works.
I ain't got no problem. Like I said, I can do more.
So what was it like to go, return to Anarchy, what was it, about a month ago, 6 weeks ago? What was that like, and you know, what's the future hold for you back in the wrestling business?
Kind of like a firecracker getting ready to pop off, man. I was just waiting and waiting and waiting. Then I finally got back in and boom.
Yeah, you could really see that you were raring to go when you got in there that night. That was great.
I mean, after you don't hurt people for almost a year, I mean, you got to get back in there and do it. I ain't dead or old yet, so I'm keep going.
Hey, could you talk a little bit about your stint with MMA?
With MMA?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. First match, I got the crap knocked out of me. I mean, pretty much they had to throw in the towel. I wouldn't give up, but they threw in the towel because the guy was 65 pounds heavier than me, but I said, screw it, I did it anyway. And the other ones, they rough. Wins, losses, I mean, look it up online. You may can find it, may not can find it, I don't know. But as far as MMA goes, I think wrestling hurts like 100 times worse.
Really?
They don't have nothing in us, yes. If you're going in there, you're trying to get the job done quick.
So what made you decide to try MMA out?
I love UFC since it very first started. I was watching, if you look online, there's a 1981 clip of a UFC clip before UFC clip.
Oh, wow.
Then you got Rhino Bare Knuckle Fighting. Check that out. That's a very good one.
Can you elaborate a little bit on, you said wrestling is more painful than MMA?
Oh, yeah, it is. It's let's see. I did MMA probably 3 years. Broke a finger. Was in wrestling the first 3 years. Done broke a rib, done broke my jaw, done cracked my leg, fractured my arm, broke 6 fingers, my eyeball socket right there, whatever you call it. I broke it, broke my nose 3 times. So, yeah.
Goodness.
I just go by the way out on that. I don't know. Maybe I like the pain. I don't know.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, why does someone put their body through all that?
I guess you got to like it. Or should I say you got to love it?
What do you love about it?
I don't know. Maybe it's like the pain sends adrenaline through your body or something. Maybe I'm an adrenaline junkie. You know,
you
I like
anything?
skydiving, man. I love it all.
That's what I was going to ask.
If you do other things like bungee jumping, or did you do any skateboarding when you were younger?
No, I did a lot of skateboarding. Well, not so much skateboarding, but inline.
Right.
You know, you take off two middle wheels, you grind that rail down. No, bungee jumping was too safe. I didn't like that too much. That wasn't too much of a fall.
So, safe to say you're a thrill seeker.
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, I got to ask you, again, changing gears a little bit, but I want to go back to Lost Boys and your thoughts on Chad Parham.
My thoughts on Chad Parham.
Yeah.
Well, when we was tag teaming, I didn't quite like him so much.
Really?
Yeah. But later on in the years, some circumstances come by and everything, I ain't trying to get in that. But, you know, me and him's good buddies now, but it didn't start off too hot.
Why was that? Why didn't you get along in the early days?
I don't think he's a thrill seeker. I don't think he liked the pain too much, and I brought the matches where it did, and he didn't quite like that.
So he wasn't quite willing to go to the extent you were willing to go?
To a point, but I don't think not as far.
So, you know, and Wildside's in Anarchy now. I've been in, you know, the staple has always been the War Games cage in the summertime. You are notorious for some of the things that you've done in the War Games cage. Is that, like, the perfect element for you is in that kind of environment where if anything goes and you're locked in the cage so you know that you're going to hurt people and vice versa?
I like a cage only if it has barbed wire in it.
Okay.
The enclosed environment I like, but I want the danger around it. I want the pit below it. If you fall in, you're going to get wrapped up in the barbed wire. I want fire. If I had a sword, I'd bring it out. I brought axes out. Enough. Yeah,
so,
that's about it.
Now, how come you didn't get more into the deathmatch fascination a few years ago when it was, like, really, really big, like when Ian was running all the tournaments and Combat Zone was doing their thing? Was that just something that just didn't appeal to you, or just you just didn't have the opportunity?
Well, my first experience with CZW wasn't too good when my promo got him kicked off the air. And there was a promo where I took a butcher knife and split my head open and started writing in blood and everything, and the company or the TV station didn't like that too much.
Wow.
That got in trouble for Combat Zone TV?
Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, think about that. A guy too extreme for Combat Zone.
Or at least that's what I was told. That's what I was told. But Combat Zone does all them light tubes in there. I don't like light tubes that much.
Why
well, I mean, yeah, you're right. They do a lot of light tubes. But I know Ian Rotten didn't really use a lot of them, but was that just, you know, because I know Tank went up there, and I've always thought that you were just as tough as Tank. No offense to Tank whatsoever. I think that you two are the two toughest guys in the history of the business that I've ever witnessed. You know, so I've always wondered why you didn't do a lot of the death matches when he was doing them.
I don't know. Maybe lack of communication between Ian Rotten, because I never really talked to him. And
gotcha.
Probably that. I never really just seeked it out or anything.
Well, one of the things I've wondered through the years is that, you know, you've pretty much stuck to the Georgia area and, you know, pretty close to Cornelia. How come you haven't traveled more and branched out more?
I tried a few years ago and everything's getting pretty far and I guess I just kind of lost sight of it for a while. Now I'm back at it. I think I'm going to go somewhere this time. So then I'm going to seek out Dusty Rhodes because he still owes me $500. I like to get that out there.
Well now, holy tell us cow. About that. How does Dusty Rhodes owe you $500?
Because I did three shows for him. He said he was going to mail me a check, and he never did.
Huh.
That was when he had that turnbuckle.
The
challenge.
Turnbuckle.
Yeah, turnbuckle. Yeah, TCW. Yeah.
Yep.
He stiffed you on the pay?
Oh, yeah. I got like 100 out of it probably. So, yeah, I'm still heated about that. But that's what the biz.
wow, that's insane. But wow, I already knew that story. That just threw me for a loop right there. I was like, oh, do you want to go in more about Dusty Rhodes? But then I'm like, no, you know, we'll pull back on that one. But out of all of your matches, and I know you had a million of them, which one is probably your favorite match you've ever had, and why?
Favorite match. That's going to be hard out there. I'm going to have to say probably me and Slim J's Bob White match.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was
how was that
good
one, Larry?
I just, yeah, I mean, it was horrific. I mean,
yeah, that one left me with a 25-inch, 2-inch scar.
Wow.
5 inches long, 2 inches wide.
Chew, goodness gracious.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one good. When you're taking a shower and a sticky finger in your arm.
Oh. Wow.
Well, given that Slim J would be at the very top of the list of the, you know, most violent and sadistic kind of matches, who would you put on the short list behind him for opponents?
I'm going to have to put Seth DeLay.
Really?
Yeah. No, not many people know that. He's a trooper. This Seth DeLay used to be called Kid Cool, and you can post this if you want to. I've seen this man jump off a ring down at the Globe in Athens, and no joke, it was 75 feet from his mark. He did a plancha 75 feet, at least 30 foot high. I don't know how he did it. And it's on videotape or someone, but that's the craziest dive I've ever seen in my entire life. And that's coming from me, and that's just crazy. He put the guy out of the business with a dive.
Wow.
It was rough. That guy had balls for catching it.
I guess. So
you've been at the the Anarchy building, the Wildside building, the NCW building, like you said, 16 years now. How do you feel about it? Like, I mean, is it still the same today as it was when you first started, or do you feel like, you know, maybe they're missing an edge, or basically, why is the crowd down, and do you feel like you really could be the guy that brings it back up?
I don't know if I can be the guy that brings it back up, but this new generation of wrestling, they're a little bit lighter.
Right. And you don't like that?
No, I like it rough. I mean, there's some in there that's good, but I think if we could get back down to old school, I think the crowd start coming back everywhere.
I agree completely. I totally agree with that, 100%.
And I ain't talking about arm bars and everything. I'm just talking about as far as I'm going to hit you.
Right. Get the respect out of it and start making it seem like you actually have like a little bit of animosity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When I go in there, I want blood. The other guy
could
be the same way.
Now, how do you feel about those, like the anti-blood rules that a lot of companies are imposing?
What, the PG models?
Yeah, basically. You know, the family-friendly professional wrestling.
Just in my opinion, I don't think no professional wrestling needs to be a family show.
Agreed.
It's a blood sport.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're there to cause violence. We're there to make you happy, and if you're drunk, we're there to make you even more happier. But as far as a family show, maybe do that on an off day or something. Maybe have a $5 day for the kids or something.
I love it.
But other than that, a show should be rough, bloody, everything.
Speaking of blood, and as far as people that go back, as far as you do in Cornelia, Jeff G. Bailey would be one of the few. What are your thoughts on Mr. Jeff G. Bailey after working with him and against him for all these years?
Jeff G. Bailey, man, he's my mentor. That's the only thing I can say about that. He can't do nothing wrong with the business.
I totally agree. I totally agree. That man is a wrestling genius. You spend 5 minutes with Jeff G. Bailey, you're going to learn something. Like, seriously.
You spend 5 minutes with Jeff G. Bailey, you learn 10 years worth of business.
Agreed.
How about your thoughts on Bill Behrens?
Bill Behrens is awesome, man. He is, I'm talking about the old school. What he says, what he means. He don't BS you around. But I put him up there with Jim Cornette and everybody.
I can see that.
That's just my opinion.
Well,
Jonathan, you got anything else?
Yeah, we're running out of time, but I just wanted to ask real quick. Anarchy is this Saturday, and
yep.
You guys are just coming off Hostile Environment. So what do you have going on? Do you know yet?
No plans. I just want to go in there and hit somebody and hopefully hit them hard enough where they hit me really hard.
All right, well, I suspect there will be if you're involved. All right, well, Larry, Josh, you guys got anything else?
I think I'm good. I've really enjoyed this. I enjoy Azrael as a talking guy now. This is going to be fun. We are getting back on.
Yeah, ditto. It just was a treat to be part of your first actual talking situation. So thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it, man.
All right, I appreciate you. I appreciate it as well. And good luck this weekend. And I'll see you at Dragon Con.
All right.
Well, Larry, you unwittingly kind of provided a nice segue by bringing up Jeff G. Bailey. We've got another guest, and it all kind of fell into place while we were on the air. Richard Swan, who will be doing a seminar this Saturday in Porterdale, is now joining us, and I think he might have some dealings with Jeff G. Bailey out there as well. How are you doing tonight?
Hello. I'm doing pretty good. Did you say J.C. Bailey?
Oh, yep. No, not that
no.
one.
I was about to say, what? J.C.
No,
Bailey.
Jeff G. Bailey is the greatest wrestling manager that has never made it to the national scene, and I don't say that as, slightly. I mean that 100%. The guy should have been in WWE. He'd be a millionaire if it was 1989, and we'd all be better off for it if he was a millionaire.
Thank you. I like that. I like the sound
of
that.
And when you meet him next week, and like we just said right before you came on, I know you're teaching a seminar, but if you spend 5 minutes with Jeff G. Bailey, he'll teach you something too. That's how great of a mind for the wrestling business he is. So
of course, I'm not down. I'm down to learn from everyone. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody's gonna learn. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
so
that's what a seminar should be. You know. Like everybody coming together to learn something, you know, for the business, to better the business. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm excited that you're coming to Georgia to do a seminar because, you know, like we just mentioned earlier, a lot of young guys in Georgia don't really get a chance to work the shows that you're on because, you know, you're a pretty big deal in the independents. You know, you're working the PWGs, you're working the Evolves. You're working the Dragon Gates. You're going overseas a lot. So for you to finally mingle with some of the Georgia talent is going to be, you know, I mean, it's a wealth of knowledge that they're going to be able to get from you because, you know, Georgia is kind of like the bastard son of the independent scene right now, and I think that, you know, you getting to see some of those young guys and those guys getting to learn from you is going to be huge. So
and
give us a little bit about what you're going to bring to those guys.
My thing was Georgia, right? Some of the best wrestlers on the independents come from Georgia.
Agreed.
AR Fox, Wuhan Nation, Moose, guys like that, they come from Georgia, you know what I'm saying? They all
train
down
work Georgia. But they almost never work Georgia shows. That's what's so crazy about it. No.
I mean, in the beginning, though.
I think, Larry, did AR Fox only work GCW, correct?
He worked Anarchy one time, as did Wuhan Nation work it, I think, a couple of times. But
okay.
Basically, yeah, they were in GCW more than other places, right?
Yeah. So
sweet.
Yeah. They went out there and they did their thing and they got on a Combat Zone and some of the larger promotions of North, and that's what you have to do. And And that's why, like, having you come in is, you know, letting guys, you know, hopefully open that gate to bigger things for a lot of these guys. Especially, I mean, I think you'll be working Chip Day on Saturday night. And that, to me, I think is a dream match. You know, for me, knowing Chip since he was 15 years old, that's a dream match.
Yeah, I love Chip Day. Like, I've seen him wrestle at Pro Wrestling Experience in North Carolina. He's awesome. You know what I'm saying? He's also a guy that likes a band called Madison Men, so we have that in common. And I just can't wait to mix it up with the dude, man, you know?
Right.
I'm curious, Mr. Swan, since you're coming to do the seminar, who would you consider to be your major influences on your style?
Major influence on myself, definitely Dean Malenko, Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, Amazing Red, guys like RVD, like that, the wild style, you know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
Unpredictable, high-flying, technical.
So
one
what was
that
it
throws...
like for you? Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what was it like for you to, like, go and work the Dragon Gate shows and be in front of thousands of people in Tokyo after going from the, you know, the smaller independents in America?
Really, it's like a culture shock, you know what I'm saying? Because you go from maybe working in front of 75 to at max 200 people, you know what I'm saying? And you can relate to them. But then you go to a different country. They don't speak English. How are you going to get over with these people, you know what I mean? So you really have to dig deep, and you have to be entertaining with these crowds, you know what I'm saying? And, like, it's nerve-wracking. It is. But that's just how, you know, it tests you as a performer. You know?
Right. Larry, you got anything? Jalen, you got anything?
I guess Larry didn't have anything. Yeah. Yeah, Rich, or I'm sorry, do you prefer Richard or Rich?
Either. That's fine.
Okay. All right. Well, you... you're doing this seminar. Is it still available, or tickets or whatever, spots still available for wrestlers that want to sign up for this?
Of course. There's always spots. There's always room.
And what
do you know where?
Seminar?
What'd you say?
I was wondering what time the seminar was.
Let me check real quick.
Sorry.
While you're checking on that, I was just curious how this all came about, the seminar.
Hello, you
and...
guys still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, you there?
Yeah. The funny thing is, they set this up and they never told me a time. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what time the show is, and I don't know what time the seminar is. I just know they're happening. You know what
I'm
saying?
Let me see if I can find it for you real quick. I saw it on my Facebook page.
Yeah, I got it right here. It's 3 p.m. on Saturday in Porterdale. $25 to register. You can do that by calling 404-217-9849 or emailing platinumchampionshipwrestling@gmail.com. Yeah, and there's a Facebook invitation for it and everything. So how did this come about? Did they contact you, or had you heard of them? Or
they contacted me. They saw me at an Evolve show, an FIP show in Florida, and they contacted me, and they decided, hey, let's throw a response seminar. And I agreed to it, and I agreed to Wrestling Chip Day, and that's how it came about, you know?
But speaking of Evolve, you had a huge weekend at the last Evolve weekend. I was at the Friday show and saw the tag match you guys had. It was you and Ricochet versus Tony Nese and Caleb Conley. Caleb Conley's got some Georgia connections. What do you think about Caleb Conley as a young talent? You know, I think you've worked him a few times. You know, what are your thoughts on Caleb Conley?
I think Caleb Conley is one of the most underrated guys in the Indies today. Like, he's got a good look. He can work the mic. He's, like, and, like, one thing that, like, you know, really catches people's attention is someone's voice, you know? He's got the look of a model, you know what I'm saying? but the voice of a Southerner. You know what I mean? I don't even know who to compare it to.
His voice or his looks?
I don't even know, you know? I'm sitting here trying to think of, like, what to compare his voice to. But, like, it grabs people's attention, and as a heel, like, he pisses people off, you know? And I think that's good. I think it's awesome. And his wrestling ability is great, you know?
Oh, I totally agree, and Caleb's been, you know, I've known Caleb since he first got started in the business as well, and he's one of those guys that, like, you know, he's doing so many big things, and it's good to see guys like that. And, you know, like I said, I watched that match at Evolve that Friday night, and I thought that you guys really, and I hate using the term steal the show, but, I mean, you guys, to me, really set the bar for the rest of that show. And then, you know, I've not seen the match with you and Gargano yet, but I saw some of the highlights, and that was an innovative match, and I know it's available right now on video on demand on WWE and Live Network. Tell us a little bit about that match, and I mean, your feud with Gargano might have been one of the greatest independent wrestling feuds in the past 3 years. And so
I
feel like that match that you guys had, again, like, I've not seen the whole match, but I saw some of the highlights. It was so unique. Like, how did you guys say, okay, we're on this, like, you know, random venue that's, like, outside. How did you come up with some of that stuff? I know that you're a No Mercy player. So did you see some, like, did you just, like, come up with some of these ideas from your No Mercy days and say, oh, we got to, you know, I got to try this? Or, like, how did you come up with some of that stuff?
Really, we just took what was around us, you know what I'm saying, and just basically use storytelling, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
One of Gargano's signature moves is a long dart. He does it into the corner anyway. What do you have to work with? You've got a big spray-painted wall that's saying, throw someone at me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that builds for something. You know what I mean? Like, it's telling that story. Like, he's willing to do anything. He's going to give him his long dart into the wall. You know? Like, with that match, like, it was interesting. No weapons inside of the ring, weapons outside of the ring. And, you know, it sounds stupid, but I think that we pulled it off pretty well for what we had. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, and that's the thing, is it's a unique concept, and that's one of the things that, like, Gabe Sapolsky's very good at, is taking an old idea and trying to make it new. And, you know, you've got a chance to, like, take that idea and really make it your own. And I think you guys really sort of borrow, like, what this match could be. And, you know, now you're looking at possibly facing Drew McIntyre, Drew Galloway. I mean, you know, that's a big task for you, like, when that match happens. I mean, he's, what, 6'8", 6'7"? And you're you know, a little under 6 foot, I imagine. So, you know, what's that going to be like when you guys get
faced? I'm 5. Well, I got a little taste of the Goliath, David versus Goliath with Hero. Okay.
Right.
He's about 6'4". Yeah, about 6'4", Hero is. He's huge. I'm 5'6", 5'7" on a good day. Okay. Like, and then to stand next to Drew McIntyre, all right, in the same ring, looking up, my neck's already hurting, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, and then to have to wrestle him and stuff, you know? Like, it's crazy. Like, I don't even know how to go about it. Like, there's nothing I could do, you know what I'm saying? Like, the speed. Just run around the dude. Blow them up. That's it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things you got going for you clearly is your athleticism. I'm curious to know about your athletic background before pro wrestling.
My athletic background actually was just doing parkour. I did backflips off of stuff, you know what I mean? Front flipping, like just flipping around with my friends, you know? I didn't really play too many sports because by the time I was 14, I was already training in professional wrestling. And by the time I was 16, I was actually wrestling on shows. And so the schools that I attended, like the the athletic commissions wouldn't let me play any sports because I was a professional athlete, and I used that, you know.
Cool.
That's
so
messed up.
So pro wrestling was really your sport.
Yeah, basically. But, like, I like to play a little bit of basketball. Who does it?
So on the you know, going back to the last Evolve weekend, and you know, you had a situation with Su Yung, and for those of you that didn't see it, of course, you can go in WNLive.com. You can get all of these on video on demand. And I'm just giving you guys a picture of what Rich Swann can do, and these are some great events to check out so you can see what Rich Swann can do. And then, of course, go see him in Porterdale on Saturday and Chip Day. But the big thing is, like, you know, there's a lot of young talent on the Evolve shows, and you now are almost like a veteran. Like, how does that feel to be a veteran and then to be able to work with, like, an Anthony Nese, you know, in the situation that you guys are now going to have with the whole Su Yung storyline? How does that feel to be the vet in these angles? And also, how does it feel to have something so personal happen at the end of the show, you know, at Evolve Weekend to kind of, you know, carry forward to the future?
Well, first, I'd like to say I am by far not a veteran. Hell
on,
no.
On this roster, you're one of the best of this roster right now. I'm looking at it right now.
Well, I'll say I've been there the longest. One of the guys that's been there the longest.
But yeah,
How about that?
I'll give you that. But I mean, like names like Gulak and Timothy Thatcher and Biff Busick, guys don't really know as much as they know Rich Swann.
But
I mean,
let me tell you about Drew Gulak, all right?
He's
Gulak.
Fantastic.
He's one of the dudes that trained me.
Really? No,
you
know, I did not
know
that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Drew Gulak, Ruckus, Sabian, Blackout from CZW.
Yeah.
The
CZW
dudes.
Blackout. You know, there's still a little, like,
yeah,
animosity between the Georgia Blackout and those guys.
So. Oh, man.
You
oh,
know.
Man. Yeah. But, like, yeah, like, Drew Gulak is probably one of the best, like, technical wrestlers out there. And
I totally
far
agree.
None.
He reminds
far
me of Meritato, Little Guido, when he was really doing his thing. And, of course, you know, a guy that Larry and I both know, Jeremy Lopez. Very, very
mm-hmm.
technical savvy.
Yep. And Biff Busick, though, also. Biff Busick, he's a very unorthodox, like, type a wrestler, but he's also very, very technical, but he's got, like, some martial arts, like, type background. Like, he's almost like a better version of Steve Blackman, no offense to Steve Blackman. Just saying. Like, he's Steve Blackman if Steve Blackman could wrestle. Just saying. And I'm going to get beat up somewhere by Steve Blackman, like in Walmart or something. So.
You're gonna work somewhere like big giant like Russell Cage, and Steve Blackman's gonna be signing autographs. He's gonna catch you.
You're gonna get me.
He'll never know about this. No one listens to this podcast, so you know.
Yep,
throwing
that's
out
the
there.
Old
actually
thing.
More
that's
people will listen because you're on
thing.
It. You know, we actually got somebody famous on the show now, so.
No, but getting back to the Su Yung thing, getting back to that, ending the show like so personal with that, I think it's edgy, you know? Like, no promotion's really doing that right now. Like, using reality inside of, you know, I mean, well, WWE with Brie Bella and Brian Danielson and stuff like that, but not as edgy, I don't feel.
Right.
Know? I don't know.
Literally, anything else?
Is what it is.
Looking forward to seeing your match with Chip Day this coming Saturday.
It's gonna be
I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to working with the man. He's a really awesome dude, and he's a really good wrestler.
So
that's
now
I'll
go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. No.
I,
it's okay.
I have to ask, why the Lionel Richie theme song?
Okay, me, Ricochet, Sammy Callahan, and B-Boy were on the way to the PWG show. And it was the first time me and Ricochet tagged up in America, and we were like, we got to do something that's going to be totally random. And we were like, let's change our theme song. And it was either going to be between Footloose or All Night Long. And all of us, we both listened to both songs twice, back to back. And we were like, all right, we got to go with Lionel Richie. We went with Lionel Richie. We used it at PWG, and the crowd lost it. It just happened, you know? Like, that stuff just happened, you know?
Now, okay, this is my last question, and then I'll hand it over. Okay, I just saw in LA Weekly the other day, they're talking about PWG. I'm a critic of it. I'm impressed with the athleticism of PWG. I've started watching a little bit more of it to try to get, you know, to get more understanding. The crowd eats it up, so it's working. What's it like to be a guy on that show, working that show, and then how hard is it to really follow the guys? Like, say you're the fifth match, but the fifth match, you know that the first match, second match, they all killed it. So how hard is that from a wrestler perspective? And then how crazy is that crowd?
This is the thing. Because if you know your crowd and they know you, you don't have to go out there and do that stupid stuff, you know what I'm saying? The video game wrestling, and I use that as a loose term because last night you just seen somebody get German suplex 16 times, you know what I'm saying? And they did not. So I don't even want to hear it anymore. I don't want to hear about, oh, he didn't show that move or nothing like that. Everybody's out there having fun. And they want to kill it. So if you're encouraging your buddies on match one, match two, match three to kill it, you know damn well you got to kill it. And then everybody sees that. You know what I'm saying? The crowd sees the passion. Everybody sees the passion. Everybody feels it in the back. There's no type of heat. There's no drama. There's none of that bull crap that usually happens in wrestling. And we go out for, you know, it's almost like a cult following, man. Like,
oh, it's huge. I mean, it's growing, and like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I finally started really watching. I used to watch it, like, you know, back in like the mid 2000s. Thought it was like some of the best shit I've ever seen, and then I kind of got away from it. And I started watching the highlights. I'm like, oh my god, these guys are fucking killing each other. What the fuck are they doing? But then as I started watching the matches, I'm like, oh, they were telling a story. These highlight videos don't tell the whole story.
Yeah.
And so like,
exactly.
I'm starting to become more of a fan of it again because I'm starting to like realize what's really going on. But I see some of the stuff that you and Ricochet are doing and killing it out
it's
there.
It's a teaser video, you know.
Yeah.
Why would we give away the meat and all right. Who's going to buy a whole bunch of, okay, let me put it to you this way. Would you sit around and watch the highlight video if it was just everyone giving wrist locks and working the leg and all
that?
Oh, no,
of course not. I get it. I totally get it from a marketing standpoint. It's just when you see what they're doing, it's like, you know, and I don't want to use, you know, a bad term here, but it's like watching a bunch of bukkakes. I mean, it's just like just constant, just
boom,
splash
boom,
in the face
boom,
just over
boom,
and over
boom,
again.
Boom,
so,
boom, boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, from a marketing standpoint, it works. I give it that. It's on DVDs.
Yeah. Now,
in a world where DVDs don't sell, so.
William Regal even said it, you know what I'm saying? Like, PWG is one of the craziest places out there, you know? Like, one of the most awesome, like, wrestling experiences ever. Like, my girl's dad is going to the show, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
He loves it right now. He's always been a fan of wrestling. He's about to get a different taste. Like, we sent him a highlight video, and he's like, watch. You know?
Right.
Everybody loves it. I bet if I showed the granny right here in Walmart, PWG, she would jump out of her wheelchair and say, oh, holy crap. I'm telling you.
So now, okay, and they're doing very good business. They're drawing, you know, 400 or 500 people at this place. Have they thought about getting a bigger venue and seeing if they can get some of these extra, you know, these the people are turning away, or is it just it's got to be at that building in Reseda?
It's got to be in Reseda. It has to be. Like, it has to be that building because that building is that's like the ECW arena. You know what I'm saying?
It is becoming that.
You know. The American Legion down in Reseda, you know? I guarantee back in the day, people were like, Taz was like, Viking Hall. But these people are crazy.
You know? I've been through Reseda one time, and I passed by it, and I said, so that's what they do. And I was just like, that doesn't look special at all.
I know.
But you know, like it's got an atmosphere inside it. It's pretty awesome. Like when you watch the crowd, that's what gets me is like the way the crowd interacts.
That's what I love.
You know, yeah.
Like that's what I love is the crowd. Like and not just PWG, everywhere.
Right.
You know, that's what draws everyone is the crowd. If you work in front of a hot crowd, you know, everybody's day is made. Everyone's day is made from top to bottom. If the crowd's hot, you know your job was done, you know?
Larry, Jonathan, I'm finally done.
I'm just curious, have you done a lot of seminars before?
Yes, I've done three.
Oh, okay.
I've done three. One in Phoenix, Arizona, one in Mexico, and, well, this is going to technically be my third one.
Have you ever wrestled in Georgia before?
Yes, I have. I wrestled in Atlanta. I wrestled for Dragon Gate there.
During WrestleMania weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I want to say it was another promotion there, but I can't remember.
Rampage was there as well?
I don't think it was Rampage.
Larry, what else was ran that weekend? There was a lot of stuff that ran that weekend, but a lot of the promotions that ran WrestleMania aren't even around anymore, so...
Yeah, no, I saw him at the Dragon Gate. That's where I remember.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I think the Dragon Gate is the only thing I've done in Atlanta. I want to say, but I could be wrong.
All right. Well, again, that Rich Swann seminar is this Saturday at 3 p.m., $25.
The top wasn't on the whole day.
The only place I've seen it is on Facebook, so if you're on Facebook, look it up. I guess that's it, unless you guys have anything else.
Larry, you going anywhere this weekend?
Probably to Porterdale to see Rich Swann versus Chip Day. That's my best guess at this point.
I will be checking out Shine. I'll be checking out Shine this weekend and Ybor, and that's about it for me.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Mr. Swann. We appreciate it, especially being such a last-minute thing.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, and have fun in Georgia this weekend.
Yep, I sure will. You guys have a good night.
All right,
thanks,
you
sir.
Too. Looking at other shows coming up this weekend. Of course, we talked a lot about Anarchy on Saturday as well. There's one called United Pro Entertainment in Kingsland, Georgia. Do you guys know anything about that?
I have no idea about that one. I know that I saw one. I think Blakely, Georgia's got a show coming up.
Yeah, and that one actually, it's Brawl in Blakely. Terry Lawler is involved with it, but the looks like Chick Donovan's also going to be there. Don Fargo of the Fabulous Fargos. And they're advertising a three-way dance between Luke Gallows, Mike Knox, and Mason Ryan. So,
whoa.
And I just got a Facebook invitation while we were doing this show.
For that event.
It's this Saturday at Early County High School in Blakely, Georgia.
And did you say Don Fargo was going to be there?
That's what it says. Don Fargo, he'll be selling copies of his latest book.
Well.
Melissa Coates and Devin. But, yeah.
That's pretty interesting. I mean, in Don Fargo alone, I mean, what's the guy? I don't know.
Late
80s,
90.
Close to 90.
Yeah.
I mean, he's way up there.
He's the only Fargo left, isn't he?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, I would think so. So this Saturday is pretty packed, actually. Deep Southern Championship Wrestling is in Blue Ridge. NWA Atlanta is in Locust Grove. The Rich Swann Seminar is in Porterdale. UIW is running in Temple. So we only touched on a few of the many shows that are going on this weekend.
So another full weekend of wrestling action in the state of Georgia.
It's all on Saturday, though, aside from APW on Friday and that United Pro Entertainment one on Friday. Let me look at that. I'm looking at GWHnewsandnotes.blogspot.com is where you can find all this. I don't recognize any names on this show, but I think they're crowning their first champion or something. I don't think it's their first show, but it's the first time I've heard of it. Anyway, next week we've got two guests again. We've got Terry Lawler because he's got Southern Fried Championship Wrestling is doing a Terry Lawler appreciation show. And then we're also supposed to talk to Brodus Clay, who will be part of that show that looks like a Ron Gossett show, but is not.
Oh, yes, First Class Championship Wrestling.
Right.
We need to figure out what's going on with there had to be some kind of feud or something between the guys.
I don't know. I mean, Ron has called in a couple of years ago. Larry, you remember that?
Oh,
after
yes.
Some sort of controversy with one of his shows not happening, or I think it happened, but a bunch of people canceled and didn't get paid. So I don't know if he'd be willing to call in again to talk about why this show was canceled, but I could try if you guys are interested in that. Yeah, no.
See what you're going to do.
All right. Well, we've already got a pretty packed show next week, so maybe that can be sometime in September just to find out what happened with it and what he's got planned. If he's got any other plans, I guess he's probably got plans for a couple of years from now to do two or three more shows.
I'm sure he has something planned.
Yeah, he's planning on 2016 to bring back Clash of the Champions.
Right.
I wonder what
he's
going to do when all the old WCW guys are not active in the ring anymore.
Well, I think he's run through most of those, so now he's getting all the WWE talent that's getting released.
Oh, yes, all the former NXT talent that no
right.
one cared about when they were on TV either. So,
you remember when the Misfits were in WCW?
The Misfits in action?
No, the punk rock
band.
Oh,
the punk band, the Misfits, yeah, when they were Mandy and Vampiro.
Yeah, so I got to interview Doyle, who is doing, he's got a solo thing. He's going to be playing at the Masquerade on Saturday as well. So more wrestling-related events that have nothing to do with wrestling, just like last weekend.
Sounds like
and
fun.
You can read that interview at wrestlingwithpopculture.com. All right, I think we've talked quite enough tonight. Do you guys have anything else?
I think we've exhausted it, yes.
Yeah.
I'm good.
No, I think that's plenty.
All right. Well, thanks to both of you, and thanks to Rich Swann and Azrael. It's been an interesting show. We got to hear from Azrael for the first time ever, and then got Rich Swann on top of that. So it was a good show. And
it was
we'll
a nice bonus.
Yeah. We'll be back next Monday with Terry Lawler and Brodus Clay.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.